This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about you voted for this. We're going to talk about the education system. We are going to discuss what really happened with St. George Floyd. It's going to be a spicy show tonight on I'm Right. All right, first, let's deal with the Hunter Biden thing off the top before we get to the education system. Yes, I'm aware the Hunter Biden news wants to testify in front of this GOP committee. In the open, the GOP says we want to hear from him in private first, and everyone keeps asking me, what do I think about this? Well, a couple things. One, I don't want to be totally dismissive and Mr. Cynic about the whole thing. There is value, especially in an election year where Joe Biden's still currently on the ballot. There is value in exposing the Biden crime family. It's not as if these hearings, public, private, it's not as if they're valueless, okay? So there is value there. There is also value in making the communists feel pain, the pain of these hearings. Hey, you're subpoenaed, you've got to come. That's necessary because they're religious zealots who only understand fear and pain. So that's good. Those are good things. Are we going to get anything tangible out of this? Come on. It's November 28th, 2023. The GOP is not going to do anything to Joe Biden. They're not going to do anything to Alejandro Mayorkas. They're not going to do anything because that's what the GOP does. In fact, it's their specialty, doing absolutely nothing. But, okay, we'll get some video on it and other things. All right, so let's move on to something else because we're going to get to Corey DeAngelis here in a minute. The education secretary, which I can't even believe that's a position in this country, Miguel Cardona, yesterday, he tried to quote Ronald Reagan.
As I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help.
Yeah. He just kind of missed that one a little bit. Here's what Reagan actually said.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
So obviously Miguel Cardona is catching a bunch of crap for getting the quote all wrong, but this is a helpful little moment for us, not just so we can point at Miguel Cardona and laugh, ha ha ha, look how dumb he is, but so that we can remember. These people live in a world of make-believe. because of our communist education system, an education system that is now specifically designed to make people stupid. It's not to teach them math and science, it's to make people dumb, to indoctrinate them. We have a bunch of very accomplished people in this country who are complete and utter morons. Them and your liberal Aunt Peggy, these people live in a world of make-believe. Just always remember that, and always remember stepping into that world with them, trying to meet them halfway in a world that is not real, is a pointless exercise. They can come out of that world, or we're gonna have to stay separate, all right? I mean, look, what kind of education did this man get? Well, here's a little montage. What you're hearing here is all those teachers who taught him throughout the years.
Students need access to healthcare to thrive in school and in life, and that includes reproductive healthcare.
I respect differences of opinion. I don't have too much respect for people that are misbehaving in public and then acting as if they know what's right for kids.
Our schools should not be the place for culture wars. Our parents want our children to recover from what was missed during the pandemic, for the missed instruction. They want the mental health needs of their students cared for.
One thing that I know as a former commissioner of education, COVID-19 numbers will dictate how we move to reopen schools. So it's not just about what's happening in the schools, it's about what's happening in the community.
You're saying, do I believe transgender girls should have access to sports? Yes, I do.
That's our education secretary joining me now. My friend Corey DeAngelis, author of the book, The Parent Revolution, doing great work out there. Okay, Corey, not only is he an obvious activist, he's a moron that doesn't know Reagan's quotes. This is pretty much what our education system produces these days.
I mean, yeah, Jesse, he can't really be that stupid, can he? Well, I mean, he did go to public school, so you can't really blame him, right? He's a walking advertisement for school choice. Maybe if he had access to a private school that taught a better education and the history of the United States in the right way, he would have not messed up President Reagan's quote so badly. But yeah, he's a walking advertisement for homeschooling and school choice.
Speaking of walking advertisements for homeschooling and school choice, someone who I'm sure makes your job a whole lot easier is Randi Weingarten, affectionately known as Communist John Denver on the show. She came out and said the homeschooling is on the rise because of gun violence and bullying. This woman is something else, Corey.
It's her own fault. I mean, look in the mirror, Randi Weingarten. The homeschooling numbers doubled or tripled relative to pre-pandemic levels. After she fought to keep the schools closed as hard as possible, she was threatening safety strikes in 2020, calling the plan to reopen school reckless, callous, and cruel. She was even lobbying the CDC to make it more difficult to reopen schools in person. They just fear-mongered every step of the way. She had local affiliates deleting tweets, like in Chicago, saying that it was the push to reopen schools is rooted in sexism, racism, and misogyny. She has destroyed the American school system so badly that parents are voting with their feet to homeschooling. They're pulling them out in droves to go to private schools. The charter school market has seen a 7% increase in enrollment in recent years as well. So this is all her fault, and we should really present her with an award. I mean, just look at her, just how she talks and everything. She's totally insane, and she's waking parents up to the indoctrination in the public schools. And so families want alternatives. They want private schools, they want charter schools. And the best way to allow that to happen is to let the money follow the child and stop sending it to her unionized failure factories.
Corey, what does the Department of Education even do? Why do we need one of these things?
We don't. I mean, that's the obvious answer. And the word education is not in the U.S. Constitution. It was always unconstitutional. Started in 1979. It was purported to increase student outcomes from its inception. We've spent over $1 trillion from the federal level since the inception of the Department of Ed. And the achievement gaps have gotten worse, if anything, not better. So it hasn't lived up to its purpose. Let's get rid of it, get the money back to the states, and let the individual states figure out how to best spend the money for the kids that actually live in their states.
Corey, what's going on in Tennessee? Governor Bill Lee's got a school choice proposal, but not all school choice proposals are created equal, as you obviously know. What is this one? What do we make of it?
This is the gold standard. All the Republicans should get on board. 10 other states in 2 years alone with Republican controlled legislatures have gone all in on school choice, allowing every single family to be eligible, not picking winners and losers, saying that if you're from this income or from this background, you're eligible. Governor Bill Lee, like these other states, is calling for universal school choice, no income caps, no restrictions on who gets access to the program. And so it's the Milton Friedman's vision for school choice. It's full-throated education freedom, and this is the way to do it. He just announced this today, and so that he might be the 11th state to go all in on school choice. It's just so interesting how much momentum has catapulted over the past couple of years because of people like Randy Weingarten showing parents their true colors and showing them that they want to focus more on their leftist values being inculcated in the government school system as opposed to just teaching kids how to read and write.
Now, Corey, I can't help but look on at that Tennessee law and be pretty jealous because here I am in the red state of Texas, and we don't have a law like that, Corey. Why don't we have a law like that here?
Yeah, I'm in Texas, too. I'm calling in from San Antonio, Texas, and the Senate passed it easily, 18-13. Only one Republican defection. Governor Abbott was pushing it as hard as possible, called a couple special sessions on the issue as well. But you had 18 of the 21 no votes in the House were Republicans who were endorsed by the teachers union. In fact, it was the state affiliate of the largest teachers union in the country, the National Education Association. So you have wolves in sheep's clothing in the Texas House, so-called Republicans blocking education freedom who joined all of the Democrats, including the chair of the House of Democrats in Texas, Trey Martinez Fisher, who's a hypocrite on school choice, went to private school himself in San Antonio, actually, and sent his own kids to private school, too. Yet he fights against school choice for others. And in Texas, the main argument from these so-called Republicans in rural districts, many of them who are retiring and who are going to get primaried, by the way, because Governor Greg Abbott has already endorsed 58 House Republicans on the issue. They all support school choice. He's not going to endorse any of these rhinos who blocked his priority of school choice. But what they'll say to try to have their cake and eat it too is, well, hey, we're in Texas. We have rural areas, so I don't have to vote for this. But guess what? Florida has rural areas. Their Republicans vote for school choice. The most rural states in the country, the 10 most, already have some form of private school choice. Maine and Vermont have the oldest voucher programs in the country, much more rural than Texas. And they have programs that were built just for kids in rural areas because they didn't have public schools. They gave vouchers to parents to take it to other public schools in other areas or to private religious or non-religious schools. So they figured out over 100 years ago in Maine and Vermont in the late 1800s that not having a lot of choice because you're rural is an argument to expand opportunities, not to restrict them. And West Virginia, the first state to pass universal school choice, is much more rural than Texas too. And if you poll voters in rural areas, they tend to be more supportive of school choice than voters in urban and suburban areas. So this is just a ridiculous argument, a convenient excuse for, it has been for a long time, for fake Republicans to side with the Democrats, but parents aren't falling for that crap anymore.
Corey, finally, is homeschooling included in any of these proposals or any of these laws? I know there are costs that are associated with that. Is there a chance in some of these states that parents get some of that cheddar back associated with it?
Yep, depends on the state, but most of the proposals are something called education savings accounts. So it could be used at private school tuition and fees, but you could also use it for any other approved education expenditure, including homeschool curriculum, private tutors, special needs educational therapies, textbooks, and other materials as well. So in Tennessee, for example, the proposal today from Bill Lee would include homeschool expenses too.
How about that? Corey, appreciate you, man. Come back soon. Good news, isn't it? Not everything's bad. The school choice movement is growing, and that is, well, it's the base of their power. Them controlling the education system, as we talked about, it's everything. It's not a thing, it's everything to them. Taking it back from them. Put a smile on your face. All right, seems like an appropriate time to do a you voted for this or you didn't vote for this segment. We're going to do that in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do this really quickly. When it comes to timeshares, being stuck in timeshares, this is something that I hear a lot from people. They got in it, enjoyed it, got sick of it, or you know, the kids grew up, moved away, for whatever reason, they stopped enjoying it, and they wanted out. Then they find out, the timeshare company tells them, sorry, you're stuck in there forever. And then people just kind of give up and let it go. After all, the timeshare company will usually tell you, oh, no, you should read this section of the contract, you're stuck in it. And people kind of feel dumb. Oh, man, I got duped. And they just kind of slump their shoulders and keep paying those annual fees. Please don't do that. You are not stuck in your timeshare. You are one phone call away, from getting out legally and permanently. That's what Lone Star Transfer does. This is what they do for a living. Family business. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They guarantee it in writing. Call them. 844-310-2646. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four magical little words. You voted for this. I love those words. And no, I know what you're probably thinking. I don't love those words as kind of a rubbing somebody's mistakes in their face. That's really genuinely not why I love the words. That's a side benefit, but that's not why I love saying it. I love saying it for this reason. The American voter, on the left and the right, we'll get to the differences here in a minute, but the American voter loves to divorce himself from his votes, from the results of his votes. He does. He thinks that it's someone else's problem, someone else is always wrong. And there are two classes of voter in this country. They share this in common 100%. They are totally responsible for their situation. Who are those two classes of voter? Urban Democrat voters, anyone who lives in a city and votes Democrat, and Republican primary voters or non-voters. Democrats who live in cities, they get exactly the government they deserve. Exactly the government they deserve. Republican primary voters and non-voters, they have the GOP they deserve. Most Republicans don't even bother voting in the primary, and the ones who do go vote for the same group of losers in office every time. If you're complaining about the GOP, well, do you vote in the primary? Do you vote against the establishment? Are you a Democrat voter in the city? Have you seen these numbers in the cities? Here's some for you. Washington, D.C. doubled its car thefts this year. I love this one. New York City lost $4.4 billion in retail theft. $4.4 billion. 2,500 NYPD cops have already retired. 2,500 retired. And am I supposed to feel bad about that? I mean, I don't. I don't feel bad about that at all. Look, Eric Adams got up and said, New York had a brand.
We have a brand. New York has a brand. And when people see it, it means something. You know, when we go there, it's not, Kansas doesn't have a brand.
Yeah, I've been to Kansas quite a bit and New York quite a bit. I've never once, when I've been to Kansas, seen a grown man peeing on the subway.
I know good and well. I'm really, living here is, I don't know what to say sometimes. I really don't. Oh, hell no.
You see, people in New York love to complain about the current status of New York. It sucks here. All the crime, all the pee, it's terrible. The cops are retiring. But then they either don't vote or they run out and vote Democrat every single time. And so your Democrat friend who lives in New York, the next time he complains, I actually just did this to one of my friends a couple weeks ago, votes Democrat. Next, he complained to me about the status of it. And you know what I told him? You voted for this. He was so hurt. He just didn't understand that this was his fault. And that brings us to the GOP. Can you believe that this man here was once the GOP nominee for president?
I'd be happy to vote for a number of the Democrats, too. I mean, it would be an upgrade from, in my opinion, from Donald Trump and perhaps also from Joe Biden. Look, I like President Biden. You know, I find him a very charming, engaging person.
Okay, you're revolted. I'm revolted. I just need a shower listening to that dork sitting talk so lovingly about Joe Biden. But how was that man ever our nominee? How did that man get elected governor of Massachusetts? And maybe even worse, how is Mitt Romney one of the two United States senators from the supposedly very red state of Utah? Republican primary voters, what are you doing? And look, it's not like this is a Utah problem. All across the nation, my state of Texas, one of our senators is John Cornyn. John Cornyn is a useless barnacle on the United States of America. Every time Democrats need a vote, John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell will whip up 10, 15 Republicans to go vote with them. Gun control and everything. And here in the red state of Texas, John Cornyn just won his last primary and got 76% of the primary vote. GOP voter, always complaining about the GOP, you voted for this. Remember that, all right? All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about St. George Floyd before we do that. Our justice system, obviously, look, we're talking about George Floyd and what they did to Derek Chauvin. You know what the status of our justice system is. Now is the time everyone needs an attorney on retainer. This isn't just for rich guys anymore. Normal Americans need an attorney, especially if you carry a weapon. Do you carry a weapon? You don't need the insurance that, oh, we'll pay for an attorney if something happens. You need the attorney. That's what Attorneys for Freedom is all about. It's actual legal representation, an attorney, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on retainer for you, for normal people, not for millionaire guy, normal people. Go. attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse gets you money off your sign up, but go sign up, get an attorney. All right, we'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now is the time for racial justice. That's the answer we must give to our children when they ask why. Because when there is justice for George Floyd, we will truly be on our way to racial justice in America. And then, as you said, Gianna, your daddy will have changed the world. May God be with you, George Floyd, and your family. In the words of a hymn from my church based on the 91st Psalm, may he raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, and make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. God bless you all. God bless you all.
I'm sorry. That's just, the video kills me every single time. You know who I'm anxious to talk to about all this? Liz Collins. She is the producer of The Fall of Minneapolis, that documentary I've been telling you about on my show. Everything you were told is a lie. Everything they insisted was true was false. But don't take it from me. Let's talk to Liz about that. Liz, first of all, Let's begin at the beginning. Who was this George Floyd guy?
Thank you for having me, Jesse, and appreciate you spreading the word about the documentary. There's a lot to be said about George Floyd that we were not told, and I would say that it's pretty evident as to why they withheld this from the public for so long. But George Floyd is really a lifelong criminal in many ways. His rap sheet certainly speaks to that. But really the actual film itself, The Fall of Minneapolis, focuses on what the media didn't allow you to see, what politicians didn't want you to see, this other side. And that includes this 18-minute interaction with George Floyd that took place at 38th in Chicago and Minneapolis on May 25th of 2020, including how he can't breathe long before Derek Chauvin arrives on scene, how he's not complying with officers, how a black officer arrests George Floyd. I could kind of go on and on about things that the body camera footage captured that day, and it was withheld from the public for so long.
Okay, you know what? Let's focus on that for a second, Liz, because I like these little details. It was withheld from the public. Who withheld it, and why?
That's still to this day a very good question. We know that the FBI was called in within a couple hours of this case happening that day on Memorial Day. They were involved. In any other police incident, Minneapolis police have had body cameras, I should say, for many years. This is the very first time in a high-profile incident such as this that body camera footage is not released. The public is only allowed to see that viral Facebook video, which we know so well. It's about 2.5 months later that the video is allowed. And I should say that's only because an international news agency leaked the body camera footage 2.5 months later. Otherwise, reporters had to go check it out within the Hennepin County court system, watch it for themselves, and then somehow digest and interpret that to the public.
Liz, speaking of reporters, you obviously are one and I am not. Why are our reporters not curious about things like this? Why are they not running down the truth? I've been told my entire life that these people speak truth to power, and yet where's the curiosity of American journalists?
Another excellent question, and really why I left the mainstream media so disgusted over all of this. I'd been a member of the mainstream media for 20 years, but there was no curiosity. I mean, I obviously had a very close view of all of this. My husband was with the Minneapolis Police Department at the time, serving as the union president. So I really did have a very up close view, but I really saw a journalist turn into activists through all of this in Minneapolis. Still to this day, I think there's about 3.5 million views on the documentary. It hasn't even been out 2 weeks at this point, so it shows that people are hungry for the truth. But here in the Twin Cities, in the Minneapolis area, no mainstream media has even mentioned the documentary at all. And I think it kind of proves the point here that, you should question why this was kept from you for so long, because we're all living the consequences to this day.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's nail down on something you were talking about, George Floyd and not being able to breathe. Everyone, of course, remembers that awful-looking video. Cop looks like he might be kneeling on his neck. He's sitting there. He's sweaty. I can't breathe. But well, anyway, look at this video.
In the car.
Okay, man, okay. I'm not a bad guy, man.
In the car.
I'm not a bad guy. I can't breathe.
That's George Floyd saying he can't breathe and no one's really touching him. Why can't he breathe there?
And also, this is before Derek Chauvin even arrives on that call. It's two rookie officers that are with him much longer than Derek Chauvin is. We know very quickly after the passing of George Floyd, 12 hours later, in fact, that the autopsy is done on him. He has a bad heart, 75% blockage in one artery alone, a tumor. Again, there's no strangulation marks to George Floyd's body. But this is really just presenting facts in this case, as controversial as facts seem to to be these days, sadly. But there's so much to be said about George Floyd's medical condition. But yet we're told, of course, by his attorney and also independent investigators, they call themselves that, that George Floyd is a healthy man. But the medical experts we talk to clearly state that he is anything but. He's also recently recovering from COVID. So there's a lot going on within all of that.
Okay, let's talk about this technique that Derek Chauvin used. Everybody has seen the video. Derek Chauvin sitting there, his knee on George Floyd's back, neck, shoulder blade. So a lot of people looked at that and said, wow, look at him, he's choking him. But where did he learn a technique like this, Liz?
Well, this is what's interesting as well. You have the officers referencing the MRT, the maximal restraint technique, in that body camera footage. So if you go ahead and take a look at that video, they're very clear as to what they're doing. This is something that's been a part of Minneapolis police training, not recently, but for decades. In the film, we feature, in fact, as far back as 1993, that the MRT is a part of Minneapolis training. So I think that the video showed something very different than the politicians and the media were comfortable with peddling at the time, and so they had to go ahead and hide that. In fact, MRT was a part of Minneapolis police policy up until very recently, and mysteriously, the very next day after the George Floyd incident, Jesse, those two pages of the manual went missing for several weeks before coming back online.
Oh, that is interesting now, isn't it? Okay, Derek Chauvin got denied a new trial by the Supreme Court. I don't know enough about the legal system to understand how that could be possible. We now have the documentary. We've known a lot of this information. This is very clearly a human being, whatever anyone thinks of him, who was railroaded. How's he not getting a new trial?
Yeah, it's been interesting, the timing of all of this. We have the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday, last Monday, coming out and saying that they wouldn't take the case. This is after the Minnesota State Supreme Court denied an appeal as well. And the appeal was based on the fact that the attorneys arguing that Derek Chauvin did not receive a fair trial. The trial was held in Hennepin County. It's ringed, all surrounding with barbed wire, National Guardsmen, et cetera. It's a very scary looking environment and also part of Minneapolis had burned to the ground by that point, and they're holding the trial in that very same county. So the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to weigh in. They did not actually even give a written statement as to why, written arguments as to why they would not take the case. So we don't know much there. I will say I work for a place called Alpha News now in Minnesota, and we have some updates on different legal maneuvers the attorneys are trying now. But of course, Jesse, the news is, after putting this documentary out and the U.S. Supreme Court deciding not to take the case, that Derek Chauvin was stabbed in prison. And it took 3 days for his family to even receive word on his condition. But all we know now is that he is in stable condition. I know he has 4 guards watching him in an undisclosed medical facility. But beyond that, there's very information his family is getting at all. It's truly a tragedy.
Man, it sure is. How's Minneapolis doing? I haven't been there in 30 years. It was a beautiful city back in the day.
There's a reason, Jesse, we called it the fall of Minneapolis, because so much has changed here. I put out a book called They're Lying, The Media, the Left, and the Death of George Floyd. And that's what led to this movie. And we called it the fall of Minneapolis, certainly because things in that year have not gotten any better at all. Skyrocketing crime continues, things that never even happened before. Carjackings were never even tracked before all of this. Now there are hundreds, if not thousands, a year in Minneapolis. And the police force lost nearly 40% of its officers in the wake of all of this. So it's truly been the fall of this once great city. You're right.
Yeah, you can hardly blame them. Who'd stick around? Liz, thank you so much. Thanks for doing it. I hope people go watch it. Go watch it. Go watch that documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. I'll tell you that much. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about lockdowns, the economy, where we're at and where we're going. Now, I'll spoil it a little bit for you. It's a little ugly out there right now. Probably going to continue to be ugly just because they can't stop spending. They can't stop printing money. Look, it is what it is, right? All we can do is prepare. All you can do, all I can do is prepare. But how does a normal person do that? I can't come up with a printing press and make my own money. They say that's against the law. I need precious metals. That's what will last. Doesn't matter what happens. The fall of America could come. Precious metals will have value. They always have, and they always will. That's what lasts. You don't have to take my word for it. Read a history book. Oxford Gold Group, they will get gold coins or silver coins, doesn't matter what color it is, in your physical possession. This is for normal people. It's not gold bars and such. Fully insured, they'll get it in your hands. They'll get it in your retirement. And none of this is complicated. It may sound complicated, but that's just because I don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. They do. It's easy for them. All you have to do is go to jessekellygold.com, all right? jessekellygold.com. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The far-reaching consequences of what we're doing to try to stop the spread of this virus, maybe they're necessary, maybe they're not, but we are talking about massive, massive economic losses coming, and that's just the truth. These things we're doing, man, they are drastic measures. I hope they work, because we are going to be feeling this for not just, you know, the coming months, for years. No, we're not going to be in lockdown for years, but the economic impact of this is going to be, it's going to be something. Who is that handsome young man from 3 years ago? That was me. I had more hair. Joining me now, William Ruger. He is the president of the American Institute for Economic Research. Okay, William, a few years later, how's the economy doing? How did all those COVID lockdowns work out for the economy?
Yeah, it didn't look like those unintended consequences that many of us understood were likely to happen were actually kind of figured into this, were they, right? People, I think, were looking only in the immediate term and not thinking about the long-term ramifications, and we're seeing some of those now. And unfortunately, at the national level, there were all kinds of challenges, but at the state level, they varied in terms of how they approached it, with some locking down more than others. And, you know, states like Florida seem to have done better without those things.
How did such an insane concept like stopping an economy for a virus, how did something like that ever catch on? It was a worldwide thing. It just blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can understand why in the immediate term, right, when we didn't really know that much, why there was some hesitation. And I think a lot of people would have done this voluntarily, but you could kind of understand it in the short run. The problem is when it became a long-term thing, far after we knew some of the kind of impacts, some of the spread and transmission data about some of the most effective and less effective ways to deal with it. And again, that's where it becomes a lot less forgivable, particularly when there were like these large one-size-fits-all approaches.
Joe Biden is doing a bit of finger pointing because his administration is not exactly, their numbers are not great on the economy. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
Let me be clear. To any corporation that's not brought their prices back down, even as inflation's come down, even as supply chains have been rebuilt, it's time to stop the price gouging and give the American consumer a break.
Is there price gouging out there right now? Is that why prices are so high?
That is not the reason why prices are high. I mean, this would suggest, of course, that when prices go down, that somehow people and businesses got more altruistic, right? No, I mean, the problem is actually that prices have gone up. That's a sign that we've actually got Federal Reserve policy wrong, right? Our monetary policy has been wrong. Our fiscal policy has been wrong. That's the real challenge here, not, you know, gouging or greedy corporations. Because again, when prices go down, they don't praise businesses for being altruistic.
What is our fiscal policy? If you had to describe it, besides just one word, bad, what is the fiscal policy in this country?
I would say spending, if you're looking for one word. If I could give you two, it would be crony capitalism, right? It's way too many special interests are at the trough, feeding from the kind of the taxpayer's wallet. And, unfortunately, that's a huge issue, right? I mean, and again, like you could say like, hey, I'm not one of those special interests, but think of all the millions of Americans who are dependent on government, either subsidies or entitlements or things that they believe they paid into, like Social Security, which in fact is a welfare program because it's pay as you go.
What's next for the Fed? Are they going to keep raising rates? Do they have to keep raising rates? People just, you know, we just went through Thanksgiving. People are well aware of the costs out there, and they want to know, when's it going to stop? What's next?
Well, you have seen a decline in the rate of inflation. And sometimes people say, oh, inflation is down. Actually, no, it's the decline in the rate of inflation, which means that inflation is still going up. And that's a real problem, right? Because that means that the grocery store shoppers are seeing higher prices. It means that the cost of living for everyday Americans is up. And I think that will have a political effect. I've talked a lot about grocery store voters. I think that could apply to, you know, Christmas shopping voters. You know, we're going to see, we see higher prices, we see that sticker shock, and I think it scares people about their economic future and their ability to make ends meet, particularly because it's not the case that people's wages are necessarily in sync with that. I mean, certainly people that are, you know, working for the government and get COLAs, you know, those people are okay, but what about the people who aren't?
Okay, so the debt situation in this country, it's obviously bad. It's going to keep getting worse because neither party wants to cut a penny. But what are the implications for the normal American, for me, for you, of a nation like ours running up the debt to where it's going?
Yeah, I mean, look, debt is a tax on the future. At some point, this is going to have to be paid off one way or another, right? There's no free lunch. Even if there's a default, there's going to be a cost. And who could imagine what would happen if there was a default of the world's largest economy and the most important monetary instrument in the world, which is the dollar. So, you know, this is going to be a real problem ahead. For one thing, it's going to increase the cost of borrowing. And then the percentage of national income that goes to just servicing the debt goes up. And so you could see all the ramifications for that. I mean, we are addicted to government spending. We need to stop and repair our kind of fiscal future. And it's very easy to say, hey, look, you know, we're just going to kind of keep spending and, you know, free money will continue forever. That's not how the world works. It's not how economics work. Eventually, there will be a tight constraint on people. And that's going to mean austerity in one way or another. And that's and hopefully it's not going to be greater taxes, because that's my fear, is that we'll just tax people. We'll have a wealth tax. And that's not fair to people who are savers. It's not fair to people who have been, responsible with their spending when the government isn't responsible with theirs. So, you know, Congress needs to do its job. Don't spend beyond its means. And if they can't do it, then something like a balanced budget amendment is something that the people I need to bring to the fore, right? We need that maybe bottom-up approach.
Do the people actually want it, though? Isn't that what we always run into, William? The people, they claim to care about spending, but they can't name one government program usually they want to cut.
Well, again, that's the problem. But it's a problem of kind of like, I think, fiscal immaturity, right? The idea that we could continue won't suffer costs is our failure to kind of see beyond the kind of end of our nose, if you will. And so I think that we need people to understand what the real ramifications are for this. And if they don't, then they're going to face it, gradually and then suddenly, as the old saying goes. And that's not going to be pretty. So one way or another, we're going to have to pay. Do we deal with it now, or are we going to face something much more dramatic and much more, you know, something that resembles more of a crisis than a responsible approach? And my fear is it's going to be a crisis scenario. And then you're going to have all kinds of, I think, ramifications from that politically, including, I think, further and further, public anger at the establishment that will then lead to, I think, the potential for folks even more irresponsible. Like, you could imagine leftist governments coming to power and proposing socialist solutions to problems that are actually government problems, not problems with capitalism and not problems with markets.
Speaking of irresponsible, as we wrap this up here, the credit card debt, the personal credit card debt in this country, every time I see a new article about it, it's just staggering. It looks like, if you're just looking at the data, it looks like Americans are ringing up the credit cards to try to keep up with their standard of living, and that doesn't end well at all.
Yeah, I mean, I, the good thing, at least you could say, about credit card debt is that for the most part, there's a much tighter connection between spending and your financial future as an individual. And even with bankruptcy, there are costs imposed from that. The biggest danger, I think, to our country's future is actually government spending, because, again, there's less of a connection between the people spending and the people who will suffer the costs. And I don't want to be living in a late empire situation, so to speak, where we have bread and circuses, but the country decays and declines because of irresponsibility and an unwillingness to deal with that. And maybe it all goes back to the fact that our education system is so broken that we don't actually have people who can kind of be literate economically or understand, the very simple math of you can't spend money you don't have forever.
Yeah, how about that? William, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. All right. Don't worry. We have Light in the Mood next. Let's do something. Your dog. Do you love your dog? Look, I admit, I love mine. Okay, I'm sorry. I do. The big, fluffy idiot, Fred. And I want him to be healthy. You know, he used to have digestive problems after every meal. You have any idea what that was like? We used to have to let him out. Just feed him and just send him outside. No more.
Why?
What changed? We started pouring rough greens on Fred's food. Now Fred gets vitamins, minerals, omega oils, probiotics. Fred gets all the nutrition that his dog food does not give him. Your dog doesn't get nutrition in dog food. Fred, we've seen such a physical difference in him. It's been wonderful. His coat, his breath, it's awesome. Start your dog on some rough greens. You don't have to take my word for it. You will see a difference. Call them 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for a free jumpstart trial bag. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why, as we get ready to lighten the mood here, I don't know why animals getting sauced is funny. It shouldn't be funny, right? Maybe we should all be cringing or something, but a bunch of animals got into some fruit that had ripened, if you will, and here's how it went.
But after a few weeks, the marulas get overripe and they start dropping from the trees. Then all the animals wade in and gorge themselves on the rotting fruit. It starts fermenting in their tummies and turns into a very potent brew. So on the way home, things start happening to them.
Thank you. the elephant one that kills me. Just trying to maintain. And before I forget, you know it's Giving Tuesday today? What does that mean? Did you know that when you sign up to become a First TV supporter, obviously you get all kinds of things other people don't get? Today, it's discounted. So take advantage of it. Go to thefirsttv.com/support. If you've been holding out, waiting to become a supporter, now's the time. All right? All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.